Does anyone listening know anyone at all who's always bitching? Think about it. Yes, yes, you do. I'm looking at three. No, I mean, I don't know any myself, but I mean, you know, everyone generally would work with somebody who is, and you might even describe yourself as being a bit of a bitch, or you might be curious as to what makes somebody quite bitchy. And I don't know if it's fair to describe my next guest as one, but journalist Rosemary McCabe has tried spending a week without being one, and she joins us now. Was it a tough week for you, Rosemary, or was it easy peasy?
It was different. I mean, but first I'd like to say, I think we're all bitches in a specific way, and it kind of depends on your definition. But for me, going into this week, I took it, bitching is moaning or complaining about something that makes no difference to you and that you cannot change. So you can't do anything productive about it. You're literally just giving out for the sake of giving out. So whether that's bitching about a person, bitching about the bus being late, bitching about, you know, kind of giving out in a completely unproductive way about anything.
No, I don't agree.
No,
because what you've just what you've just done there is you've defined whinging. Bitching is where you say, when Grace goes to the toilet and she goes, and I say, that Grace that's just gone to the toilet, I like her. Don't get me wrong, she's great and everything, but fill in gap here. And I mean, I love her and all. She's great. Don't get me wrong now. I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but I don't think she should wear that. Now, I'm just saying. That's bitching.
Well, see, you're by your tone of voice and by exactly what you're talking about, you're making it a very, very female thing.
Oh, here we go.
I think men can be just as bitchy as women.
Bitches. I know we can. But I'm not getting into... I'm so tired of the gender. We know we're all one as bad as the other. We all know that. More women, more men. We're all the same. I mean, well, we're not, thank God. But I know what you're saying. Men are as bad. We are as bad. There's no question about it. So let's not turn it into a gender thing.
No.
Why did you decide you wanted a week without bitching?
Well, I was having lunch with a friend of mine and I was bitching about this girl that we both know, I mean, not particularly well, and I had kind of decided ages ago that I didn't really like her and I was kind of giving out about her. And my friend, there was this moment where she got visibly uncomfortable and she just stopped talking. And it was kind of like that moment where you go, oh my God, I'm being awful, you know, because sometimes you can get together with friends and you kind of bitch and moan about someone who maybe you don't know that well. It makes no difference to them. It makes no difference to you. You just want to get something off your chest. And I think that's fine. You know what I mean? You're not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
But in this instance, I kind of went, oh my God, maybe I'm actually just being a really, really horrible person.
Yes.
And then I was at a party with my boyfriend and a few of my friends who he's only met once, and he would be kind of relatively quiet. And I was giving it about a different friend, and he turned around and kind of put his hand on my leg and went, I think that's enough.
Ooh.
And I was like, "Oh my God, that is enough."
You were going, but do people get a kind of like kick out of having a good bitching session in a way that they kind of go afterwards? It felt like they just had a nice bar of chocolate or an ice cream. So is there kind of something satisfying about letting it all off your chest and having a good bitching session?
I'd say it's kind of more like having a shower after the gym, that you just kind of feel cleansed. You know what I mean? Like sometimes there are things that are really annoying you about a friend who you love, right? And you don't want to say this to this friend because you're like, there's no point having a fight about this. She's not going to change the way she is. Like maybe she's really rude to waiters. Maybe it's something that, you know, she's really mean to someone else. Or there's something that just really bothers you about her. And you just really, really need to get it off your chest. And I think a lot of times it's better to say that to someone else and, you know, to get it off your chest and to get it done than it is to actually say that to that person's face when you're going to offend them, you're going to upset them, and you're not going to make any difference anyway.
I'm just trying to think about my own example of saying what, like sometimes I'd say to somebody, I'm going to say this to you now because if I say it behind your back, it'll seem like I'm bitching. And that's quite a nice thing to do because I think it's very honest, right? But there are times, aren't there, when you can't help yourself but saying, she's normally very nice, but she's giving me a pain in my face at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. That you're just like, this is really annoying me what this person is doing. Or
yeah.
I mean, with my friends recently, a lot of it is to do with online dating. People get out of relationships, they start online dating, and they talk about nothing else. I mean, I've been that soldier who talked about nothing else and who did it when I was getting out of a relationship. But it is one of those head-wrecking things when you're not online dating and somebody talks about it all the time. So that's something that you kind of... And there's no point in saying it to your heartbroken friend.
But is your heartbroken friend now describing you as a almost smug married pain in the ass? Oh, she's with the boyfriend. He puts his hand on her leg and says, stop, and I do.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they might be thinking that way.
Well, you never know. I mean, like, I'm not under any illusions that my friends aren't bitching about me, too. You just kind of have to not worry about it and go, if it was a big enough problem, you trust your friends love you enough to say it to your face. You know, if there was something huge that, say, for example, they thought you were too much of a bitch, like my friend did at lunch, would make it very clear, you know what, you have to stop now. But the rest of the time, if they want to give out about something I do behind my back, there's no harm.
Have you ever lost a friend through bitching?
Not that I know. I mean, that's kind of the key, like, that if you're bitching about someone, you say it to friends or you say it to someone who's not really, really close to them. So you're not going to say it to their best friend. You know what? She's wrecking my head. And you also know, I mean, as I said, there are certain things. If there was something that was serious enough that if I said it behind my friend's back, they would dump me as a friend, it would probably be something that I would say to their face.
Good.
Like, you know,
okay.
It's that kind of nuanced thing.
It's the equivalent of little white lie versus big, dirty black lie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, because it's one thing saying to your friend, oh, you know, I'm mad about you, or I think what you're doing is totally right, and then turning around to another friend and going, she's being so, you know what I mean? So that's kind of two-faced. But, you know, I think when it comes to venting, but this week that I took off, what I did find was, so I decided that I would go, I think it was like Monday to Sunday, and I wasn't going to bitch about anyone or anything. So I wasn't going to give out, you know, like little things like when you get on the bus and you go, oh my God, there's somebody, you know, sitting next to me who smells really bad. That kind of thing where you're going, if it's not productive, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to try not to think it. And what I found was, for the whole week, I was just kind of relentlessly positive. Because when you're not bitching, you just don't say anything unless you have something nice to say.
Yeah.
So I was kind of probably a lot more silent than I usually am. But then when I was talking, I was really going out of my way to talk about people I had nice things to say about.
How did that make you feel?
Which none of us, I mean, really good. I don't think any of us really do that enough. Like when you're talking about things or when you have a burning issue you want to talk to your friend about, a lot of the time it's something that's annoyed you. It's not like, oh, did you hear my friend got a promotion? Isn't that so great? You know, she's doing this. She's been working really hard. We don't spend enough time bigging up our friends or our acquaintances, at least compared to how much time we spend complaining about them.
Yeah, it is true. It's like, I'm always banging on. I'm actually blue in the face. I'm bored talking about to some extent about online, you know, the comments and all that kind of thing. I mean, people say, you know, for example, I might come back to my case. I go, oh, Ryan Tubridy is a pain in the hoop, and he's this smug, self-satisfied, middle-class, pseudo-intellectual. But I'm pretty much ticking a lot of people's boxes as I say this, and they do all that. And then you meet somebody who might have written that, and you change their perception, because actually they're writing about a thing. They're writing about a persona. They're not writing about a person.
Yeah, or they're kind of writing about an event rather than actually criticizing you personally. I mean, like, take, for example, the whole kind of Niamh Horan and Sindo rugby thing. I would have been very vocal, given out about that online. But if I met
what
her
did she do? What happened?
Oh, she wrote a piece in the Sindo where she went kind of behind the scenes at an Ireland women's rugby training. And the crux of the matter was, don't worry, they're not very manly. They still wear fake tan. It was just this whole kind of real twee.
Right,
kind
so
of
it was a big online fuss about that.
Yeah, there was a lot of angry tweeting. But it is one of those things that you're like, shock. I'm like, I don't like that thing. I don't like that thing in the media. Similarly, that somebody might see you in the late and go, I didn't like that interview.
I know it's much more personal than that now, in fairness. And the point I'm making is that if you actually meet somebody, they kind of get a bit, oh, okay, you're not, you know, first of all, you're not fake, you're actually not, you're not a cartoon, you're real, and maybe they might change their opinion. Equally, if you're being bitchy about a friend or something like that, if you say it to their face, or if you were to say to your friend's face what you were saying behind their back, what's that going to do to a friendship or a relationship?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, what I took out of it was asking myself, would I say this to my friend's face? And if I wouldn't say it to my friend's face, you know, something that I'm going, there would be no point in saying that to her. It would hurt her feelings. It wouldn't achieve anything. Then maybe don't bother saying it to anyone. Do you know what I mean? That it's not going to make a difference to you, really, if you get it off your chest. But write it in your diary if you want.
But yeah, but it's in your head and you kind of feel like you need to get it out and then say, that's grand. I feel grand now I've got that out.
Well, like sometimes you do, but then I kind of wonder, like from my week of not bitching, when I thought about somebody, right, so somebody would come into my mind and I'd go, oh, I really want to give out about this. And then I'd remember, I can't give out about it. So I'd force myself to tell a good story about them, because most people you'd be giving out about, you do have good stories about.
Yeah.
And then you'd kind of come out of it with a good feeling about them, rather than going, oh, they annoyed me so much.
Okay, here's one, Rosemary. Ange was on to say, I have a friend who has no other conversation except how good looking she is. How every time she's out, men just walk up to her and can't believe their luck in meeting someone like her. It's far from reality. She's actually not that good looking. And it's at the end of the night that these men appear with their beer goggles. Question, am I bitching? LOL. I think that's a yes, isn't it?
I mean, is it bitching if you're actually just telling a true fact about somebody?
Well, now,
you know
that's
what I mean?
I've written down here, observation versus unpleasantness. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so
I mean, like, so the observation could be, you know what, I think she kind of, you know, has a bit of an inflated sense of self. That's observation. But kind of saying, these guys come out of nowhere when they have beer goggles on, that's bitching.
Okay, so that element of the text. Okay, so breaking it up into its constituent parts. Okay.
The first half is fine.
The first half is fine, it's clean. But the second half, you're going to have to go to confession. Bless you, bless me, Father, for I have bitched. Yes?
You know what? I would love to be somebody who thought they were absolutely... I really, really envy people who have like an inflated sense of even their looks or their intelligence or their ambition. Because if you think about it, Americans are really, really good at this. Thinking they're amazing at everything and they're beautiful. And it really, really serves you well. If you believe that you are gorgeous and that you're amazing at your job, you will often do a lot better than somebody who is better than you at those things.
It's got me to where I am today. Every couple of months as a text, I have a big bitching session with a friend of mine about my mother-in-law. I don't necessarily like bitching, but I need to do it. And I like the addendum to this text, which says it's probably my form of therapy. I think that's a good one.
I think mothers-in-law are a very, very specific animal. It is always okay to talk to your close friends about your mother-in-law because you cannot get rid of her. You cannot complain to your partner about her. But sometimes you just need to get it off your chest. So I think that's the one where everybody gets a free pass.
Fergal says, the poor mother-in-laws. Fergal says, most people bitch because they're trying to make themselves feel good but do not want to face their own problem.
This is one of those accusations that's leveled at anybody who criticizes anything. Like when you criticize, do you remember that woman, Samantha something, who was in the Daily Mail talking about how she was so good looking?
Yeah,
and she
was on the Late Late Show. Yes, I do.
Yeah, and like loads of people who gave out about her, she retorted by going, "You're only jealous."
Yeah.
Which I think is a really simple, like a really simplified way of going, your criticism isn't valid. Sometimes your friends really annoy you, no matter how high or low your self-esteem is. And I don't think it necessarily reflects on you to turn around and go, "You know what, she's wrecking my head."
There was a lot of angry tweeting, says your caller. Is there anything else on Twitter? Awful form for the bitter and insecure.
There's lots of things on Twitter. I would highly recommend watching Made in Chelsea while paying attention to Twitter. It's hilarious.
That's for comedy.
Some of the most hilarious moments. And I mean, you really see on Twitter when things happen, you know, this kind of recent abortion debate, you can see loads and loads of different sides of it. You can see people tweeting news stories, people tweeting comments, people having really interesting discussions. So yes, I mean, there is a lot of giving out on Twitter because, as you said, it's kind of like a conversation, but without any of the niceties. You know what I mean? Without any of the feeling, this is a real person that I have to be nice to.
Exactly. That's why I dislike it now, having loved it for so long. What about all the nice mammies at the school gate who the teachers think are the best mammies in the world, and then they can be the biggest bitches? Even they even bitch about their kids as well. Well, I'm not familiar with that, but that's what they do.
I mean, that's kind of a very specific.
But the workplace. I mean, do you have a workplace, or you work from home, or are you in an office, or?
I work from home, so myself and my dog have regular.
So do you bitch about your dog when your dog, you know, goes outside and refuses to do a pee or something like that?
No, not really. I bitch about her when she wakes me up in the morning with a paw in the face, but otherwise, not really.
And is your dog a bitch, literally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we've learned that now, all these things that have that critically tell us about what to do and what not to do. Have you gone back to your bitching ways, or are you still clean?
You know what? As I said, like, I do think there is a lot to be said sometimes when somebody is really, really annoying you and you need to get it off your chest, and there's no merit or value in saying it to their face because you're just going to hurt their feelings. Sometimes, yes, I will kind of turn around to my friend and go, you know what, it drove me mad that such and such did this the other day. You know, do you think I'm being really unreasonable? You know, that kind of thing where you're looking for somebody to talk you off a ledge. And you are kind of bitching, but you just need to vent. But I definitely have got a little bit less. And there are certain things that, you know, kind of given out about people I don't really know who, you know, especially that I would see online or see on Twitter, and I'd, you know, say to a friend, or just see this tweet, it's really annoying. That kind of thing I've kind of stopped because I'm like, actually, that's not productive. And it's not really getting me anywhere or helping me in any way. It's just making me more annoyed.
Good. Well, Rosemary, it's been good to talk to you again. I haven't talked to you for a while, so I hope life is good to you. And we'll do it again soon, hopefully.
Yeah, great.
Okay, look after yourself. See you soon.
You too, thanks.
Thanks, Rosemary McCabe there. Gosh, she's so annoying. 51552 said she's not. She's great. I love her. Andrew's on to say, no, Ryan, this is the girl who fancies her, thinks she's gorgeous. It's her only conversation all the time. It's so bad that we avoid her like the plague. She even sends herself flowers. That's terrible. She even sends herself flowers. I love flowers. Now, another text says, yes, pain in the hoop. I didn't mean to say that. Is that really bad? I don't really know sometimes. One of my favourite sayings, thank you, Ryan, for bringing it back to the public airwaves. Oh, my pleasure. It's entered my lexicon. I don't know how or who's responsible for it. It's their desperate stuff. on the subject of bitching, I pulled over to text. Well done. How old is that lady? Rosemary, she was she about 30, 32, I'd say? 30 something, anyway. She sounds like a bitchy teenager rather than a grown up. I don't bitch about my friends. Grow up. Mothers-in-law don't get me started, freaking started. I just advised my kids to check if a prospective partner's mother is still alive. If she is, move on. One day I'll write the book. Obviously, I'm not giving my name. Thin line between bitching and therapy. Better out than in, which I'm a firm believer of, I must say. Gillian says, I'm not a mother-in-law, but I actually feel they get such a raw deal generally. And a few more gentle thoughts or words about them wouldn't go amiss. I agree that bitching is therapeutic at times. You just need to choose who you do it with care, says Gillian. It's true, mothers-in-law get an awful rap. That was all the rage, wasn't it, in the UK? It was like, my mother-in-law went, and it was Les Dawson was the one who said, my mother-in-law promised me she'd dance on my grave when I died, so I promised her, I'm going to die at sea or something like that.